The Legislative Commission on Pensions and Retirement will come to order. I think it's too early to congratulate people, so we'll just wait. We have before us, do we have to do the minutes?
Would be a good idea.
Senator or Representative Murphy, have you had a chance to look at the minutes?
Oh, I have. I wrote them up.
On the Murphy motion to adopt this whole series of minutes.
I'm the secretary.
Subject to amendment if somebody finds something that's not right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted. And now we're going to deal with the post-retirement, the two studies that we were required to do or asked to do. And today I think what we're going to do is just get a brief overview of where the staff's at. And then the commission members have to read this material so that we can give advice to the staff on how to wrap up. But we're not going to sit here and read it today. So this will be a shorter rather than longer meeting. So, Mr. Martin, question?
No, I was just saying thumbs up.
Okay. Mr. Martin.
Members, the longer of the two documents in your packet is the one I will cover. This was a conjoined study of both the investment-based post-retirement adjustment mechanisms that we have in Minnesota and also a comparison of teacher retirement plans in Minnesota and the other 49 states. So the memo has two parts. The first part is the post-retirement adjustment mechanisms. Because we're not going to go through this in any detail, what I have for you is a sense of the ability, primarily the topic dealt with in the first part of the memo, is the ability of the post-retirement adjustment mechanisms to offset the impact of inflation on the economy. I've identified four ways that Minnesota has gone at this, has provided post-retirement increases in investment performance, indexation to active member salaries, replacement of all or part of the consumer price index increase, and automatic flat rate percentage increases. And the various plans have used typically a composite of these two, or four rather, giving you a sense of what has in fact happened. If you turn to page three, the mandated study required that we look at the post-retirement investment fund, which is the post-retirement mechanism for all the statewide plans, look at MRF, look at the Minneapolis Police and Fire, and look at the two first-class city teacher plans. Because there was one additional mechanism, the Fairmont Police, I've also included that based on a 1999 law, which provides them an increased mechanism in addition to their escalator. And what you've got there in the middle of the page is the for the period 1978 through 2005, the compounded annual rate of percentage increase that each of these plans has provided in the order in which they have provided increases. So Fairmont provided the largest increase over that period, if you were to state it in compound annual percentage increase terms, and the St. Paul Teachers has provided the least. What I've done in trying to do this is I've translated the lump sum adjustments into what an annuity would have been had annuity been had been purchased rather than a lump sum payment, to try and make this an apples and apples comparison. Showing you on the bottom of page three and the top of page four what this translated a $1,000 annuity in year 1977, what that would look like over time in the various plans, to give you a dollar sense of what's going on. Page five, I've tried to give you some sense about how often the increases by these various mechanisms have exceeded the consumer price index increase or fallen below or matched the consumer price index. And that's the chart up or the table up on the very top part of page 5. And also in the middle of page 5 is also giving you a sense of what time periods this matching or in excess or understated performance has been. I've lifted a chart from some other work that the Pension Commission staff has done on the bottom of page 5 to give you a line chart comparing the post-retirement investment fund, which is the biggest mechanism, covers the most our retirees, and how it compares with the consumer price index. Then on pages 6 and 7 is a caveat, as it were, again lifted from some work that Ed Burek presented to you a couple of months ago. While I'm looking in my prior charts, this is pages 6 and 7, in my prior charts, I've been looking at the entire period, 1978 through 2005. The results that you see are not necessarily the same if you were a retiree and you started at a different period of time. So this gives you a sense of how adequate the post-fund benefits were as you get closer and closer to 2005. And the pattern doesn't of adequacy or inadequacy doesn't necessarily remain the same over time. From a cost and budget and state aid impact, which are factors that the mandate required that we look at, there isn't a whole lot to comment. Cost is probably the primary issue. The assertion in the memo, although I wasn't here in 1969 when the post fund was created, I did come on staff shortly, a few years thereafter. It's my sense from reading the documents that date back to 1969 that we were essentially trying to provide a post-retirement increase mechanism, as it were, on the cheap, something that would not require new money. If fortuitously large investment performance did occur, we were going to dedicate a fair portion or all of that investment performance to post our retirement adjustments, and that way made it very economically affordable. Didn't necessarily mean that we were going to do a real good job of matching inflation, but it did save the state treasury from having to put in some additional dollars either through ad hoc increases periodically, which is the pattern in some other states, or creating a mechanism that would be triggered on a more regular and more substantial amount.
I think I think what's important here, members, is we're going to need members and stakeholders to thoroughly review this memo and the next memo. And then we're going to have to hold a meeting where there is feedback and testimony. The stakeholders should, and here are the issues. One, is this inclusive enough in terms of the information necessary? Secondly, are all the various options and potential conclusions on the table? This is the feedback we want from stakeholders. And then we would like some written response to that from various folks. And then when we have it prior to our next commission meeting, and then at that next commission meeting, we will take public testimony if people feel the need after we've reviewed the information that's been sent to us. And then at that meeting, the staff, if we have time at that meeting, if we have enough information, we will start to make some decisions. If we don't have enough time, we will then meet again and try to make some decisions. We may not make the, is it a December 5th date?
December 1st.
We may not make December 1st. But we'll try to wrap it up before session. Although the urgency of that, I mean, I would need to talk to Representative Smith about this. There may or may not be an urgency to wrapping it up before the actual session starts, and that will depend on how the commission members feel about this. That's how I would see this wrapping up. We're not going to make December 1st, though. because the staff will need some feedback from us, and there's a lot of information here. And I think I've just been looking through it, and I think instead of having staff go through the whole thing, it'll be pretty self-explanatory. But the issues are, is enough information available for the staff to work with? So if stakeholders feel there's not information that is before us that needs to be here, provide it to the commission staff and or to my office or both. And secondly, based on what you read here are the various possibilities for conclusions by the commission on the table. And then thirdly, obviously, what do you recommend that we do based on this information? Is that clear to commission members? Anybody in the audience who would rather, who needs further explanation of the process we're going to go through here? Okay. I am guessing that in terms of time frame, the week after Thanksgiving, does that work for commission members to have a serious meeting? It'll be a long meeting, Representative?
In North Carolina.
Okay.
Until the 7th of December.
Okay, so that would be the week after that?
Yeah. I'm leaving the 18th to my son's house, and I don't get back to the
18th of November.
Be back to the second week of December.
Okay, second week of December?
Working on his house.
Fine here.
Is that?
I'm not going.
Okay, so
I'd be back
by
that time, too. I'm going to a conference up until the 5th.
Well, I'm not going anywhere. Where is it? Why can't I go somewhere? Everybody
anywhere
else
either.
Is going somewhere. Now I'm starting to feel bad.
I'm not going anywhere.
Benzel's feeling bad, too. He's anywhere. Not going anywhere. So it looks like it'll be the week after. So perhaps that Tuesday?
Works.
Keith,
what,
Senator Langseth isn't excited one way or the other.
Well, I always go to Arizona in December, but I'm not even sure I'm going to do it this year.
Okay. Well, we'll try to figure out how to work with you on that.
I don't think I'm going to be going anyway.
If we could set the date, though, we could make our trip around that, maybe.
Tuesday of that week?
What date?
December 5th is a Tuesday.
I think he's a week later
December.
Than that.
Lynn needs that a little 12th. Later.
The 12th?
December 12th.
Coming back
would
the morning
Tuesday.
Of the 7th. Or the night of the 7th.
That's the Thursday. The
so
next
Tuesday would be December 12th?
Yep.
Are you back before the weekend?
Yeah, I'll be back the 7th evening.
You'll be back the 7th. So we could do it the 8th or the 9th. Is that Thursday and Friday?
8th is Friday, Senator, and the 9th is Saturday.
Friday or Monday or Tuesday? Anybody have a preference?
Tuesday.
The 12th.
Tuesday the 12th? Okay. Tuesday the 12th. Okay. And we'll get started early, 9 in the morning. And that'll be a fairly extensive meeting, I would think. Mary, would you like to do it a little later?
9:30 works really good.
9:30.
I miss the traffic then.
9:30. Representative Murphy, I apologize.
Mary's fine.
Well, not in a... So I think then we're... Any other questions? I think we're done for today. Is there anything the staff need us to know otherwise at this point? Commission members, you need to read this as soon as possible so that your feedback is available for the staff as soon as possible.
We have this block of time.
Okay? As soon as possible.
Got up at
okay?
Quarter to five to so I could get
oh, that I knew there were two that wanted to testify. Do you feel an urgency to testify today? Okay. Okay, meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Shortest pension commission meeting I think we've ever
had. I didn't read it.